Genesis chapter 12, and we're starting in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And we'll come back and look at those few verses there. There's several things there that we want to see. Verse 4, it says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." How old was he when he had Isaac? How old was Abraham? And it's an opportunity for you to speak back. He was 100 years old. So just wanted to point this out. Okay, God is giving him promising seed of Abram. At this time, it's before God changed his name to Abraham. He was 75 years old. Okay, so that'll help us understand when we look at this and we see this and how long it seemed like God waited. And 25 years. Now, 25 years for us, it seems forever. And these days, they lived a little older, but, you know, they were getting to the point to where. But I just wanted to point that out. "And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son." Now, his brother had died. It back further further back. Abram took care of Lot, which was his nephew, and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go in, this is verse 5, went forth to go into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was there in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He removed from thence unto a mountain of the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram and journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, "Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill thee, but they will save thee alive. And say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with thee for my sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. And the princess also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. He entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because Sarai, Abram's wife. Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And then we see there in verse 1 of chapter 13, it says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. He went on his journey from the south to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." So we see here, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but Abraham is mentioned in the Bible 230 times, to give you an idea. He's very, We looked at Enoch, which only mentions like three times in the Bible, or four. Very few times, but we know that Enoch walked with God. But now we look at Abram, before he was called Abraham. And the fact of the matter is there we see, go back to chapter 11 and verse 31, it says, "And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah was 205 years, and Terah died in Haran." So we see that God had called Abram out of get out away from his family, but yet at this point he hadn't done it fully. But then we see that in verse 1 of chapter 12, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." So he's sending him out. Now, this is the interesting thing. It talks about here, and let's see if I can find it in the verse here. But it talks about sending him into a strange country, or a strange... and when we see that, actually, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I believe that's where it says it, because I was looking back and forth between the two passages, reading about the life of Abraham. And we see there in verse 8 and 9, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out," and this is the interesting part, "not knowing whither he went." How many of us could be called, God calls us to go somewhere we've never been before? How many of us would do that? Abraham believed God, and he went. Verse 9 says, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs which with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." But we see that word strange. In a strange country. And it means another's that is not one's own, or by extension foreign, not akin or hostile, alien or other men's or stranger. When he got to that country, if we think about it, it was a strange country. It was different, and he knew nobody. He had no family there. But God promised him here in the first few verses. He says, first of all, "Go to the land that I will show thee." In verse 2, it says, "And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now, he wasn't very specific on what he was going to bless Abraham with, but he said, "I will make thee a great nation." And up to this point, Abram and Sarai hasn't had a child. He's 75 years old, as the scripture tells us. So that means if he was 75, that means Sarai was 65, because later on, he's 100 and she's 90, when it talks about it in Romans. So she's 10 years younger than him. "But I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." So we see these promises that God has made to Abraham. And one interesting fact about this is they're all future. This is all future promises. But God fulfills them, as we read in the scripture. But he leaves, he departs, so it says in verse 4, "Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And he took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all his substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had got in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they did." So he set up an altar. In verse 7, God appeared to Abram in a vision. Back, that was before the written word. We have the full written word today, so we don't see visions. God speaks to us through his word, because it's a living word. But in verse 7, it says, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed, now he's specific, will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And then he went a little further. It says he went into the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still towards the south. So he's just got done worshiping God. He just had got done having communion with God, talking with him. God promises him a seed, promises seed through him. And then we come to the point in Abram's, one of the things that Abram did, he did it twice. I'm not quite sure what was going through his mind at the time. He just talked with God, and God promised him seed through his loins, okay? It says, and then there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt. Well, who else does that remind you of? Later on in Genesis, who else does that remind you of who went down into Egypt? Because there was food there. Well, Joseph was sold into Egypt for what? So he can save a multitude of people, right? And we go to chapter 50, and his brothers were scared when their father died because they thought he was going to revenge him, but he didn't. He said, God did this for our, you know, for our good. Well, Jacob sent his sons into Egypt to get food. See, it's interesting how every way Egypt at that time must have been they were a rich country, and everybody seemed like they went there. But what happened? He got off the beaten path. It says there was a famine in the land. Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they shall kill me, but they will save thee alive. When's the last time is it all right to tell a lie? Is it ever all right to tell a lie? No. So Abraham got away. He forsakes the place of blessing. And again, through this trial, instead of looking to God like he knew from before, he chose to turn to his own devices, and what happens? Now, through all of this, God's still sovereign. God's still in control. God's not going to let nothing happen to Sarai. Abram didn't know that at the time. Well, he knew that, but he didn't think about it. But he says, therefore it shall come to pass when they shall see thee. Okay, we see that in verse 13. It says, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass when Abram was come into Egypt, and the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. They did exactly what Abraham said they were going to do, because Sarah must have been a beautiful lady, according to what he's saying here. And it says, he entreated Abraham well for her sake, and had sheep and oxen and asses, men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because Sarah, Abram's wife. He just came out from building an altar. He just came out from worshiping and having communion with God. God promises him, unto thy seed will I give this land. And the very next moment, he's doing this. It doesn't make sense, does it? He gets away. He lost focus for a moment. But Pharaoh called him, Abram, there in verse 18. It says, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why did thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Have we ever gotten to a point, I know I used to do this when I was younger, to where it was easier to lie about something than try to be honest because we thought we were going to get in trouble? We've all probably done it sometime in our life. But in the end, as we find out as we get older, it's better for us to be honest up front and let the truth be known than it is to lie about it. Because when we choose to lie, of course, lying is sin, we lose God's blessing. God doesn't bless sin. The same thing happened here to Abram in the situation with Sarai. Now, God protected them, yes. God's protection was still there because God's not going to let anything happen to the lady who Abram's going to have the promised child. But Pharaoh asked him, "Why said thou she is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife?" Now, Pharaoh did it innocently, and I believe that's why God didn't do nothing to Pharaoh. And that's why he let them off the hook, because they were told. But it says it plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah. So I'm sure once they made it right, that God withdrew the plagues. But Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And then he went up out of Egypt. This is one of the bad parts in Abram's life, that he went and did what he did. But later on, it happens again. He goes into Gerar and does the same thing. But he looks out and sees that Abram's playing with her out and knows, he senses that it's his wife and not his sister. But we get to a point, of difficulty. Abraham went to, there was a famine in the land. He got to a difficult point. He, instead of simply trusting God, he went into Egypt. And he forsook the place of blessing. Because Egypt was not where God wanted him. He called him into Canaan land, the promised land. So what happens when we step out of God's will? What happens? We lose. Well, first of all, we end up doing things we shouldn't. Isn't that true? We end up making decisions we shouldn't make. We end up doing things that we probably never would have done if we were right with God. See, Abram lied about Sarah, his wife. And sometimes we think, well, maybe it's all right to tell a little fib. It doesn't hurt nothing. But one thing we can learn from this is whether we waver or not, God's promises don't. We may not stay straight the course, but God does. And that's why God knew that Abram was going to do this ahead of time. That's why I believe that he allows us to see this weak moment of Abram. We have weak moments. And sometimes we end up doing, like I said, we do things we shouldn't. But one thing we can stand on is the fact that God never changes. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever in Hebrews chapter 13. His promise didn't change, did it? Even though Abram went down into Egypt and he lied about his wife, plagues were put upon Pharaoh. So they sent him out of Egypt because they didn't want him there. They didn't want that because something might happen to his wife. But God protected them, but his promise never changed. That's one thing we just got to remember. When God promises something, he keeps his promise, no matter what happens. See, our circumstances may change, but God doesn't. God is still God. Let's go to chapter 13 and verse 1. As we see where Abram returned to the land God had promised. It says, and Abram went out to Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him in the south. And Abram was very rich in the cattle and silver and gold. He went on his journey from the south to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. There Abraham called on the name of God. See, he got right with God. He got back on the right path. And then we go on and we see further down here where Abraham and Lot separate. Why? Because the herdsmen, there's a dispute between each of their herdsmen. And Abraham's finally, he realized, as he said there in verse 8, he says, Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. See, he didn't want nothing going on between him and his family. He wanted to be right. So we look at some of these things. So Abraham is called into a strange country, as it talks about in Hebrews. The culture was different. The language was different. The food was different. The climate was different. It was a strange country. It's just like when I started thinking about this, I started thinking about some of the missionaries that leave the United States and they go to these other countries, which is probably strange to them because everything's different. And so therefore they have to go about learning the customs of the people. They have to learn the language. They have to learn in order to reach them. But this is the land that was promised to Abram. When difficulty came, he drifted to Egypt. But by faith, Abram took God at his word and did what God had said. Even though Abram drifted a little ways and came back on path, he still believed God and his word. See, Abraham believed God and then he acted upon it. He obeyed him. That's what he's known by. It says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, it talks about Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Just some thoughts I want to get you to think about and to keep in mind before you go down some road sometime and make a decision that you regret. Remember, what happens when we step out of God's will? We lose the blessing of God on our life. Now, it could be a number of things that can cause that. Abraham decided he would go to Egypt, and then he ended up lying about Sarah. That's where he stepped out of God's will for a short period of time, and then God brought him back. But when it happens to us, what do we do? What do we do when we step out of God's will? Well, first of all, if you're one of God's children, there's chastening. There's chastening on your life. God chastens his own. And then if you don't heed the chastening, it talks about in Hebrews, or actually 1 John, if I'm not mistaken, talking in verse chapter 5, talks about there's a sin unto death. And when a child of God goes and steps out of God's will and steps out of God's will for his life and he continues to go down a certain road and he's living in sin and does not want to turn back. Now, we know it's possible because God talks about a sin unto death in 1 John. We know it's possible for somebody to live out of his will and do wrong and is still saved. How do we know that? Lot, his nephew. If we were to go to Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was not living in God's will. Because if Lot was living in God's will, then his family would have been saved. His family would have went with him. His family wouldn't have ended up the way they did. So we can learn from Abram that simply God tells us he believed God and he counted unto him for righteousness. He was obedient. Yeah. When we see these mishaps in the scripture, so to speak, like Abraham forsakes the place of blessing, we realize that Abraham was a human being. God allows us to see that he lived in sinful flesh just like we did. That's why he allows a lot of the things he mentions in the scriptures to us, is because he allows us to see that to help us realize they were human too, but it's not an excuse to continue sinning. It's not an excuse to continue going down the wrong roads. 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. Why? It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's there for the purpose of us helping us get right. When we agree with God about our sin, he cleanses us and we're brought back into fellowship. See, Abraham forsook the place of blessing. It's not where God wanted him. Things didn't go the way he wanted. And guess what? God plagued Pharaoh. And then they told Abraham to leave. Get out of there. What happened to Jonah when he ran from the Lord? He got onto that ship. He was running from God. And what happened? God brought a storm in. And what did they do? They threw him off ship. Why? Because they didn't want him around. They said they cast lots to find out who was causing the problem. They didn't want to be part of that problem. See, God's people, when we get out of God's will, it affects others. It affects other people. And that's about as far as I'm going to go tonight for sake of time. But we're going to pick up a little bit more on Abraham next week and look at some more things in his life. But we got to remember, even though our circumstances change from time to time, God does not. He's still God. And it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "For all things work together for good to them that love God." We know that all things work together for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. God's going to work out the details. Sometimes God allows us to go through hardships to bring us to the point of allowing us to be submitted to his will. Sometimes that's the way it works. Let's pray.